This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We keep it rolling here on a Saturday evening. What a busy evening we have in store for all of you. I'm Tim Murray here from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas, joined by Mark Melusis as we are with you for the next 4 hours, getting you ready for Stanley Cup Game 5, Arkansas and LSU, which should be an awesome atmosphere in Omaha. The third round, Mark, is wrapping up at the U.S. Open. Sam Burns remains your leader. And, of course, where you sit, not too far from one of the best rivalries in all of sports as the Yankees and the Red Sox get at it. I know that game up in Fenway, but still, should be a fun one tonight. Busy night. You know, everyone says that the summer months are quiet. Not yet, man. This is a great time, certainly, to be us and live betting these events on a Saturday night.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question. And Tim, great to be with you on this Saturday. We're going to get to those quieter days in quick short order as, you know, the Stanley Cup finals are winding down, the NBA finals are winding down, but still we've got a lot, hopefully a lot of drama in those two respective series to go. The Open, Oakmont's been fantastic. And, you know, I'm not a great golfer and I don't take joy in watching great golfers go out there and struggle, but that's what you expect with the U.S. Open each and every year. And you've seen it for the last 2.5 days just outside of Pittsburgh. So it's fun. And you mentioned Yankees Sox. It's not the rivalry it once was, but, you know, it's still, historically speaking, one of the best rivalries that we have seen in regardless of sport in this country. So it's going to be a fun night. I'm looking forward to working with you for the next, 4 hours, and we got a lot of action going on.
Yeah, Todd Furman from CBS Sports and Bet the Board podcast, going to join us in less than 15 minutes, give us his analysis on Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final. You know, I had a tweet last night inquiring, Mark, about when was the last time we had a Stanley Cup Final and NBA Finals this competitive at the same time. We've had some great ones, no doubt, over the years, but to go on concurrently, it's been fantastic. And I know, you know, folks in your city may not be as tuned in with the NBA because they want the Knicks to be there, but as sports fans, man, it has been a treat to watch all 8 of these first games in these respective championship series. And hopefully we get it here again tonight, as right now you look at the odds board for this Florida Edmonton game. It's pretty much a true pick 'em over my shoulder here at Circa, -106 both ways for Florida and Edmonton after the epic comeback we saw from the Oilers on Thursday night.
Oh, I mean, it was just ridiculous. You change goaltenders. You know, and Knobloch was a former Hartford Wolfpack coach with the New York Rangers before he got the job up in Edmonton. But to work with McDavid and Draisaitl, Kane and others, you know, it's a rematch of the Cup Final that we saw a year ago. But to be down 3-0 on the road, down in Sunrise in Game 4, with basically staring 3-1 being down in this series after you trailed last year in that series, and then miraculously got it to a Game 7 only to fall to Florida, and then to have that second period that they did, to give up the goal with under 30 seconds to go in regulation that forced overtime, and then to get the game winner by Draisaitl, a little bit of puck luck in OT. I mean, an amazing game, an epic comeback. And let's be honest, Tim, if the Oilers go on to win this series, and they've still got a lot of work to go out there and do it, they're back at home, in friendly confines, and that stadium, that arena is going to be absolutely rocking tonight as it gets going shortly after 8 o'clock tonight. You're going to look back, and it'll be the first Canadian team, obviously, to win a Stanley Cup since 1993, but they're going to look back on that Game 4, and it's going to have historical ramifications, and there will be stories told about what was being said in the locker room, what was being said on the bench to be able to do that, because this is a Florida team. You know, this is their third straight trip to a Stanley Cup final in the Eastern Conference. Some of the names have changed for sure. You know, they're trying to win back-to-back Stanley Cups, so they've been the epitome of upper echelon, upper crust when you're looking at NHL hockey, especially in the East, and getting to Cup Finals. It was an unbelievable comeback and set the stage for what should be an unreal Game 5 atmosphere and game tonight between the Panthers and the Oilers.
And certainly plenty on that as the evening goes on. What bets will be sweating out? We'll be throwing in some in-game bets. I wanted to hit on this real quickly because we've had 3 awesome days out at Rocco's there with our set, just a stone's throw away from Charles Schwab Field in Omaha. Three games already complete, and the fourth game of the opening couple of days here to see who advances to the winner's bracket, loser's bracket, who's going to have an uphill battle. And the two best teams are about to go head-to-head here in LSU and Arkansas. Earlier today, Murray State battled back to a two-run deficit but couldn't get all the way over the finish line as UCLA won that game 6-4. But this one should be great tonight. I was texting with ESPN Baton Rouge host, our friend of the network, Jimmy Ott, earlier today, and he really likes the under. Now, be careful, right? Jimmy probably got it at the best number at 10, now sitting at 9, but a little show sweat for me here, Mark. I'm going to throw a little money on the under here, and I tend to do this with sports I'm not too familiar with. I'm not going to parachute in and tell everyone, oh, yeah, I'm some expert when it comes to college baseball. I am far from it, but there are a lot of smart people out there, so I'm going to roll with a little under here, and I'll say this. You know, the days of Rosenblatt are long gone, and, you know, unders cash more than overs now at Charles Schwab Field. And so far, very small sample size, Mark, we've seen two unders and one over so far out in Omaha. And with Cade Anderson, who's an absolute stud on the hill for LSU, we're going to go under 9 here, juice at minus 120. A little early show sweat for us to watch throughout the evening.
I love it. I mean, listen, I'm not going to profess to be a, you know, college baseball expert, but, you know, and the people that profess to know everything about everything, usually they're idiots, to be perfectly honest with you. So you got to pick and choose in terms of who you listen to. Nobody's an expert on everything. There really isn't. So I like that. I mean, listen, I you get into the atmosphere, you know, tremendous scene out there in Omaha. The College World Series is, you know, American tradition. When you look at it, we know going into it, you know, those of how we know how strong the SEC was coming into these College World Series, and Arkansas trying to win their first World Series title in program history. LSU has been one of the classes of class, so I get it. I'll tell you a little bit, Tim. I'll hop on board. A little bit of a family play on this Saturday night. We'll go under. I'm with you as well.
Look, we got to have some fun on the show. We got to have some bets. I'm going to throw in some Look, I'm going to have some painful bets coming up here later when I'm betting unders in the Oilers and Panthers game when overs have hit all four first periods, all four games.
I'm not going to tell you on that one, Tim. I'm not telling you on that one. I'm not going to go against it. I'm not. You know, I'm one of those guys. When you're at the roulette table,
if you want to go against it, that's fine. Then and one of us is guaranteed to win at least. You know.
That is true. Like, you're either the guy or the gal that steps up at the roulette table. You're either going with the trend or trying to go against it, right? So I'm one of those guys. I've learned my lesson over the course. So, like, if there's, like, seven spins of the roulette table and it's all black, I'm not going to be the guy that's going out there betting red, thinking that the next time I'll continue to ride the streak a little bit. I think we're going to get another high-scoring affair. So I'm not going to tell you on that one. I'll tell you on the under when you're looking at Arkansas-LSU. I think we're going to get plenty of goals tonight up in Edmonton.
Yeah, should be great pitching, by the way. Zach Root will be the starter for Arkansas. Cade Anderson will be the starter for LSU. That game just about to get underway. And we got to get a quick update of the CWS Jello Shot Board. Have you been on to, Mark, the Rocco Shot Board? They've been busy. They've been swamped all day. The last update we saw from the Rocco's board, and LSU, who 2 years ago consumed, as a fan base, 68,000 Jello Shots. They are right now the leader, no surprise there, with 8,800, and I would imagine many more to be consumed. So as of 53 minutes ago, the Rocco's Jello Shot leader, LSU, who I would say probably, Mark, went in as around a minus 700 favorite to lead the College World Series in Jello Shots consumed.
Well, tremendous fan base. They travel. We know that, right? And it's a storied baseball program when you're looking at, you know, down in Baton Rouge with LSU. My question to that would be is how many people, like when we're looking at 8,800, you said the number is right now for LSU and for Jello Shots, do they give you a number count as well? Because I'd like to know, like, what's the average amount of Jello Shots per person that steps into Rocco's?
So since we have been so fortunate, VSiN has been, to be out there for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we got a little inside scoop. So you could go up, Mark, and you can buy however many Jello Shots you want, and you put it all on one tab. So it's not like every LSU fan one by one is doing this. And, you know, our friend and, you know, owner of Circa, Derek Stevens, gave the early lead to Murray State and Louisville because of Circus Sports Kentucky. So he went up and he bought a bunch of shots for those two particular fan bases. But from my understanding, there is a real honor for LSU to make sure they're bringing home the crown. And
I'm sure.
Yeah, they're not going to stop, apparently. So we are about to get underway there at Omaha, LSU and Arkansas. Under 9 for me in this one, which I'm sure will be painful to watch that one. As, you know, yesterday I tailed our guy Aaron Moore. He loved the under in Oregon State versus Louisville yesterday, and we got tied at 3 in the ninth inning, and ultimately we did ultimately get there. So fortunately we got a walk-off winner for Oregon State, and they were able to get that victory. So we got a whole lot to keep our eyes on here, Mark, all day long. Sam Burns continues to be our leader at the U.S. Open. He's 4 under, and right now, taking a look at the live odds, his odds continue to shrink. He's down to plus 140. I'll say this, J.J. Spahn, who was your first round leader, he was around, I think, 80-1 to be your first round leader. He's still hanging around. I think a lot of people anticipated him to just fade away, and that has not been the case. J.J. Spahn just a stroke back of Sam Burns right now in the third round. They're through 15 holes.
Yeah, he's been great. I mean, Spahn, a guy I think hails from Los Angeles. He's had a pretty good year this year. I think everyone's surprised they sit here late day 3 out there in Oakmont, and he's just a shot off the lead. But look at Adam Scott, all of 45. He 2 shots off the lead. Victor Hovland has had himself a day. Didn't start particularly early. I think he had 2 bogeys on the front nine, has had 2 birdies on the back nine for Victor Hovland, a guy that everyone's always looking to try and put it together. But Sam Burns has been great, and you're right about J.J. Spahn. I think a lot of people are stunned that he's still hanging in there.
We'll keep you updated on what's happening at the Oakmont Country Club outside of Pittsburgh. We got Yankees, Red Sox about to start, College World Series, action aplenty. That's Mark Melusis. I'm Tim Murray. We're with you for the next 4 hours. Let's talk to Todd Furman, get a preview of the Stanley Cup Game 5. We'll do that next.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Happy Saturday evening, everyone. Tim Murray here in Las Vegas at the Circa Sportsbook. Mark Melusis joining us all throughout the evening as well. We're riding together here and getting you ready for Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final. North of the border, Edmonton and Florida. And to help us preview this one, we welcome in Todd Furman from CBS Sports, as well as the Bet the Board podcast, wherever you get your podcast. Todd, I want to start with this, because in the NBA, we see the extended rest for travel, and sometimes not even for travel. They just get an extra day off. When you look at the situation that's about to unfold here, where you have to travel from Sunrise back to Edmonton and only one day off in between, does that change your handicap at all of this game, knowing that they had travel and limited time to get back onto the ice for tonight?
Look, I'm critical of the NBA and how they elect to handle their NBA playoff schedule, but I'm not quite sure what was going on in the NHL front office when they decided, you know what, we need to give media an extra day on the beach down there in Sunrise, so we'll go Monday and Thursday without changing venue, and then we'll rush everyone, including all the players, 2,500-plus miles across the continent to make sure that we can get on hockey night in Canada. But here we are. And I think normally if these were teams that didn't have some of that playoff metal or the veteran experience, you'd be a little bit more concerned about how quickly they were able to run it back. But I think both these teams deserve a tremendous amount of credit, how quickly they've been able to flush the previous game. And when you ride the roller coaster of an overtime win, overtime loss, 6-1 blowout, it seems like momentum doesn't carry over game to game, let alone shift to shift.
Todd, when you're looking at this, how much does it change your handicap, the fact that the Oilers are going with Picard in net?
You know, I don't think it's a surprise that Coach Knobloch elected to go in this direction, but I also don't want to confuse people into believing that Calvin Pickard is going to look like Dominic Hasek or Martin Brodeur in his peak. I mean, this is still a goaltender this postseason, despite a 7-0 record and a goals against average right around 2.7. that from a goal saved above expected standpoint is an average NHL netminder and offers up a save percentage sub 900. The difference that I think Cal Pickard gives them though over Stuart Skinner is he's a little bit more athletic, even at 33 years of age. He's got a flair for the dramatic, and the save that he made on Anton Lindell where the Oilers turned the puck over inside their own end, in my opinion, really kept the momentum on their side in game two, let alone the big glove save he had on Sam Bennett in overtime where he got assisted by the post. So sometimes you want to ride the hot hand in the NHL playoffs, and Pickard has been that guy. So I think, in my opinion, it's his crease until further notice, unless for whatever reason he got completely shelled tonight in game five.
Todd Furman helping us preview tonight's game five between the Florida Panthers and the Edmonton Oilers. And Todd, you're well aware of this. Most of our listeners are as well. Four games, four first period overs, four full game overs, and we're seeing, guess what? Over money hit the market right over my shoulder here at Circa. It has now moved to 6.5 minus 15 to the over. What do you make of our total now, and is it just rinse and repeat? Do we expect a ton of goals tonight, or with the lack of time to prepare or rest, new goalie, could we see an under potentially?
32 goals scored through the first four games of the Stanley Cup final. It's the most that we've seen in the NHL this late in the postseason since 1981, when the Islanders took on the Minnesota North Stars. So guys, this rash of goals, a pandemic, whatever we want to call it, a little bit surprising. What's even more surprising than that, though, guys, just two of those 32 goals have come from players under the age of 25. So veteran experience really paying off for both of these teams. Tim, you know I had a position on the under in game four, and that got blown up late in that first period with a couple of undisciplined penalties. And, of course, the late goal making it 3-0 Panthers headed into the intermission. But the deeper we get in a series, the trend has always been the refs have a knack for swallowing their whistles, allowing these players to go out there and decide the game. And the one major change that we saw from Coach Knobloch after Evander Kane was the culprit a couple of times ends up relegating him to the fourth line. It sends a strong statement about what will or won't be tolerated in a game like this. Florida's undisciplined second period gave Edmonton a lifeline to erase that 3-0 deficit. So while I'm not running to the window to try and make a case to go under 6.5, I'm not running to back the over. And I actually think there's a little bit of opportunity and upside to go under that 1.5 in the first period, mainly that the price that's offered at plus $1.30. And gentlemen, if you like to live real dangerously, a nothing-nothing exact final score after the first 20 minutes will pay you a handsome 5-1 should you want to root for defense in game five.
Todd, what about a side when you're looking at the Oilers and the Panthers? You mentioned not much momentum. I'd be a little bit more concerned about Florida going into tonight if they weren't so veteran savvy and coming off winning a cup a year ago and love their head coach in Paul Maurice. But what do you like from a side perspective tonight, Edmonton and Florida?
100%, Mark. And I think this is a team that when you look at the luxury of having last change, Florida doesn't get intimidated by that. They're perfectly comfortable trying to roll out whatever line to match up with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. The one minor challenge that it does present is that Sasha Barkov ate a lot of those key defensive minutes for the two games in Sunrise, a little tougher to do in this spot. But in terms of picking a side in this game, guys, if we were doing this segment 24 hours ago, I would have made a compelling case for Florida as a live underdog at plus $1.15. With that number no longer being out there trending towards a pick'em, you know, my true number on the game makes Edmonton right around minus 106. So I'll be sitting on the sidelines in this one, maybe looking for a live opportunity. And I think it truly is a coin flip. Narrative-wise, though, and everything else, would lean towards Edmonton getting the win. But gentlemen, if that's how I bet all these games, I would have been out of business a long, long time ago.
Well, Todd, it's easy, man. Just wait for one team to go up 3-0, bet the other side live, and you're going to win a ton of money. I mean, that's the trend to do here in this series, right?
I mean, it would be a novel concept if Edmonton decided to take a lead going into the third period instead of playing from behind or playing in a flat-footed tie. And guys, as we sit here talking about the total, the under money has finally started to arrive.
Hey.
Some of the sharpest offshores now 6.5 shaded to the under, and no shock that we're seeing a little bit more support for goals being at a premium, much like the line move that we saw going into game four.
Todd, did you have anything when you're looking at series prices, props, anything of that nature here moving forward as we get set for game five tonight with the series tied up at two games apiece?
You know, I had a little bit of series exposure myself with the Oilers right around even money. So kind of be rooting that across the finish line. Although if I thought there was an opportunity for Florida, that wouldn't stop me from trying to back the Panthers. The Conn Smythe market, though, watching the volatility has been nothing short of amazing. Seeing a player like Matthew Tkachuk go from 100-1 down to 14-1 after scoring two goals. We've seen Sergei Bobrovsky, who was the favorite on the Florida Panthers, his number drift out to 75-1. in all honesty, guys, the player that I think finally offers an opportunity to jump in would be Connor McDavid. We're one electric performance from number 97 away from that plus 250 turning into an odds-on favorite. And while Leon Draisaitl does have those four overtime goals, Connor McDavid is the name and face of this franchise, and if he has a big performance today, that plus 250 will be long gone.
Yeah, DraftKings, by the way, plus 350 right now, and it's funny, DraftKings for
even,
the most
even
part...
Even better.
Yeah, when DraftKings for the most part keeps that thing up live, it's funny, I might take the blame for Sergei Bobrovsky giving up the three goals, because after the first period, Todd, on Thursday night, me and Matt Humans were talking about, why is Sergei Bobrovsky only 8-1 to win the Conn Smythe, and then lo and behold, he gives up three goals in the second period, and now he's 75-1 to win the Conn Smythe there. So yeah, it should be a fun one, no doubt, Todd, to see tonight. I got to wrap with this, man. I saw a tweet and maybe the eyeball emojis out there. Did I see your partner in crime, Payne Insider, give a little promotional tweet about the Bet the Board podcast? Is this true?
We do have a show on June 30th. So for those folks that are longtime listeners of the show, mark your calendar. We will be back on June 30th to share some announcements with everybody.
All right. That looks I'll be looking forward to that in my podcast feed. Hey, Todd, appreciate you jumping on tonight, man. Enjoy the game.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, gentlemen. Enjoy the rest of round three and game five tonight.
There he is, Todd Furman, joining us courtesy of our progressive guest line, Mark. So he is not ready to jump in on it, but he's not going against me, baby. Come on. What do I got to do to get you into this shiny first period under? It hasn't happened yet. Come on, right here.
No,
look at
it's
not beautiful.
Happening. No,
that's beautiful.
No, because
+130.
I get it. I'm not gonna shame you and not play it. Go play it.
I'm just
not gonna hop on board with that. I'm sure you did, and I know you did too. Listen, I just don't like. I think the series to me would be surprising if all of a sudden we get and I don't disagree with Todd where teams get a little bit more defensive. I think maybe the refs, you don't get as many power plays. The refs go out there and let the guys go out there and decide on the ice more so than anything else, right?
As long as Evander Kane's not committing silly penalties like he pretty much has been doing.
Yeah, right. And we see a lot of that in overtime when you get to NHL playoff hockey, right? Where kind of they let the guys go out there and do what they need to do. I just think the series is the series. And what I mean by that is I think you've got a lot of and let's be honest. I mean, and I get, Pickard replaced Skinner the other night for the Edmonton Oilers, but Skinner was bad in the first period of the other in game four. He hasn't been terrible in this series, as is Bobrovsky. He's not been terrible. They've just been really great goals scored by the opponent. And I think you're going to get more of it tonight. I'd be surprised. We're going to follow along right here, you and I. So if you're right, I'll congratulate you. I'll admit I was dead wrong. I think we're just going to get goals because I think that's what this series has been defined by both Edmonton and Florida.
Well, I am wearing a gray shirt, so we'll do a pit stain check at some point as that first period goes on. We got the U.S. Open. We got an update to tell you about there as we have now co-leaders, Yankees and Red Sox, underway. We'll update you on all the baseball going on. That's Mark Melusis. I'm Tim Murray. It is Live Bet Saturday. Stick around.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We keep it rolling here on a Saturday night. That's Mark Melusis. I'm Tim Murray. I'm from D.C. I live here in Las Vegas, and I'm at the sportsbook here at the Circa. That's Mark over there in New York. And right now we've got Yankees and Red Sox underway. We've got a little College World Series going on. We've got Stanley Cup action tonight. And, of course, last night we saw a pretty pretty shocking comeback as the Oklahoma City Thunder, down 10 late in the third quarter, felt like nothing was going right, Mark, and they were able to do what the Pacers have done to pretty much everyone this postseason. They pacered the Pacers as they came back in that fourth quarter, clamped them down defensively, and boy, you think about how this series has unfolded, and we'll get some thoughts about Monday night certainly as the show goes on, but just your quick thought of what we saw last night, the Thunder comeback, the lockdown from a defensive standpoint, and now where we are from a series standpoint heading into Game 5 on Monday night.
Well, I mean, there's a lot to unpack. First off, they got outscored 31-17 in that fourth quarter. The Thunder defense in that fourth, and we've we've talked about how historically great Oklahoma City's defense has been. You know, won 68 games during the course of the regular season, went 68-14, and you know, we're nearly a 7-1 favorite against Indiana coming into this series, Tim. And then you saw that championship. I think you saw the experience from the Denver series, and you saw them get back to playing great defense in that fourth quarter, which led the comeback against Indiana. I was stunned because I thought it was going to be a Pacers night with the way that they had played early, you know, took a lead going into the half, you know, extended that lead in the third quarter, and Indiana was playing that game at their style and pace and tempo, and then Oklahoma City defensively locked down. Listen, I think there were way too many foul calls, you know, and that's fair. I mean, I don't want to see 71 free throws attempted between the two teams. I don't think the game was officiated all that great. They let some stuff go. I think they got really ticky-tack on others. I know there's been a fair amount of criticism for it, but, you know, give the Thunder a lot of credit. They were basically, they lose that game last night. You're looking at Indiana up 3-1. And I know that, you know, Oklahoma City was a prohibitive favorite coming into this series. The Pacers, by hook or by crook, at some point, we're going to win the NBA title. Now we go into a game five back at Oklahoma City, and, you know, the Thunder have this series exactly where they want it. They'll go out there, win game five, potentially then go back to Indiana for a sixth game, and then we have the Thunder are right there in terms of winning this championship. So, listen, Pacers are going to kick themselves. They offensively got stagnant in the fourth quarter, and offensively they let Oklahoma City dictate that game a little bit in that fourth quarter, and that proved to their demise, where they had that exactly where they wanted it late stages third quarter.
Yeah, and anyone out there who had Pacers plus 6.5, that is as gross of a loss as you're going to have from a betting standpoint out there. The Thunder get their first cover on the road this postseason. They were 0-8 ATS heading into that game. It looked like they would be 0-9. I thought the stat that was most wild that I saw last night was about Alex Caruso, Mark. Alex Caruso, who had 20 points last night, was your typical, you know, glue guy, role player that you always see emerge for NBA championship teams. Last night was his second 20-point game these NBA finals. He's the first player in NBA history to have 2 20-point games in the finals and 0 throughout the regular season. So, I mean, Alex Caruso, this is why they went out and they traded for him this offseason for the Chicago Bulls, and he's certainly playing to that level here. And, you know, OKC, to your point, you said Indiana's kicking themselves. There's no doubt. I mean, they had that thing, and they were defending at an elite level. And SGA, give him credit. He looked like the MVP there in that fourth quarter. And it was interesting to note this, where you saw the chess moves that you always see throughout series like this, Mark, are what I love so much. And the fact that we saw SGA not bringing up the ball as much, not getting exhausted, because that was the one thing I noted about game three, Mark, was SGA was gassed in the fourth quarter because they were picking up full court. And then we saw him take a little bit of rest in the first quarter, which he doesn't typically do. He wasn't running the offense all that much until the fourth quarter. So I thought Mark Daigneault actually did a really nice job of trying to give his superstar enough rest. And it worked out because he ended up scoring 15 of his game-high 35 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, he was great. He was great. I mean, and they're going to need him to be great. And I think Jalen Williams, you know, dropping in 27, right? To Batman, you're going to need the Robin when you're looking at Oklahoma City. Think about this, though, Tim. I mean, you have an Oklahoma City team go on the road in the NBA Finals, and there is a discernible difference between the Thunder at home and on the road based on their performance, based on the results of what we've seen here in these NBA playoffs. Put that aside for a second. They got outscored by 24 from behind the arc. They hit 3 threes in a game four on the road in Indiana as a team, right? That's the complete antithesis of what modern NBA basketball is, where teams can't wait to go out there and hoist shots. We saw it with Boston. We saw it with Golden State. We've seen it time and time again, right? The three. So Indiana goes out, you know, the Oklahoma City hits 3 threes. They scored 9 points from behind the arc last night. Indiana scored, you know, outscored them by 24. From behind the arc. They scored 33 points. They had 11 threes on the night, and Oklahoma City is still able to find a way to win the game. Now you want to say, well, how exactly does that happen? Well, then you look at the free throw disparity. I think Oklahoma City shot 35 free throws. I think they hit 33 of the 35. You look at Indiana. Indiana's also going to kick themselves because I think they missed 8 or 9 free throws on the night last night as well. So these are things that the Pacers that some at times, and there was, you know, bad free throw shooting for them in that Knicks series, but the Thunder defensively when they needed to be great, and their players specifically when you're looking at SGA. And I think that's a tremendous point that he made in terms of having SGA not bring the ball off, not bring the ball up, exhaust them, because I think the Pacers want to go out there with their depth that they have on their team and the style of play, want to go out there and mentally and physically fatigue you as the game goes along. SGA was brilliant. Jalen Williams was brilliant. If you look at the stat sheet, you're saying to yourself, how exactly does Oklahoma City find a way to win that game last night when they get outshot by such a strong margin from behind the arc? Well, their defense in that fourth quarter was fantastic.
Defense, look, this is the calling card of the Oklahoma City Thunder, is their defense. And that fourth quarter was on another level from a defensive standpoint. And, yeah, if you just told someone last night that the Thunder will make three of their 16 three-point attempts and they'll only have 11 assists, you'd say there's no way they won that game. And they did. And they found a way to come back. And that's the beauty of it. You said the Pacers are kicking themselves. There's no doubt. And now it's 2-2. The Thunder back to a significant favorite. Now, I've continued to call them in the most endearing way, Mark. The Pacers are cockroaches. They don't know what it is to be ahead, right, this postseason. So they always love to come from behind. We saw it in the first round against the Bucks in that epic comeback. We saw it in Game 2 against the Cavaliers, Game 1 against the Knicks, Game 1 against the Thunder here. So catching 9.5, it's going to be hard for me not to gravitate towards taking the points there with the Pacers on Monday night, just knowing that this team does not die. And as we saw in Game 1, they had the capabilities, Mark, of hitting a ton of threes. As, you know, the last two games, they've been shooting at, you know, a 31.5% rate, which is well below their season average. So you could see another big-time three-point shooting performance like we did in Game 1, which helped propel them to that 15-point comeback and stealing Game 1 in Oklahoma City.
Right, and both these teams are going to have games which they're going to kick themselves, right, if they end up losing this series. Game 1 for Oklahoma City, Game 4 for Indiana, right? And the Pacers, if they end up losing this series to Oklahoma City, that's going to be one that Rick Carlisle's thinking about, you know, whether he's on a lake, on a boat, beach, wherever he might be vacationing this summer, of what could have been for the Indiana Pacers. The thing is, when you look at that line Monday night for in Oklahoma City going back home, you know, they're better. Obviously, the crowd comes into play. The turnover rate for Indiana is significantly higher on the road than it is at home. We've seen that the first four games of this series. I agree with you. I don't think there's a lot. The betting market leads you to believe that there is a chasm between Indiana and Oklahoma City. I think what we watch here in these first four games, there's not that kind of significance that separates these two teams. There really isn't. I think Indiana has closed that margin as these playoffs have gone along. Do I necessarily think that they're going to go into Oklahoma City on Monday night and win the game? No, I don't. I wouldn't tell you that sitting here on this Saturday, Tim, but I do think that they're going to have every right to keep that game within the margin. I think this series is going to go seven games. I think Oklahoma City is going to win Game 5. I think Indiana's going to go back home. They're going to win Game 6, and then we'll get back to a Game 7 in Oklahoma City, and we'll be probably looking at a spread that's similar to the way nature of the one that we see on Monday night where the Thunder being anywhere from an 8.5 to a 9.5 point favorite.
Quick update from Oakmont Country Club right now, as we had a birdie on 17 and a birdie on 17 for Sam Burns and JJ Spahn. They're both at 4 under right now as they get ready to wrap up their third round. Adam Scott also had a birdie on 17 as well. His back nine has been fantastic. And since starting with a bogey on 1, birdie 4, birdie 13, birdie 14, birdie 17. So he's shot 3 under so far today. And Adam Scott just 1 off the pace right now. Quick update from the College World Series. Not good for my under here, as LSU has plated 3 runs in the top of the second inning here. They had an RBI single. They had a hit batter with the bases loaded. Now a fielder's choice gets another run home. So LSU trying to crack it open there in Omaha. They lead 3-0. We'll get you updated on all of the baseball action and continue to prepare you for Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final. Oilers and Panthers. We'll do more of that on the other side. That's Mark Melusis. I'm Tim Murray. It is Live Bet Saturday here on VSiN.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You know, folks, football season right around the corner. 10 weeks from today, we'll be watching college football. Yes, that is a fact. We will have college football sooner than that. we'll have some preseason NFL action on our screen. So if you're ready to bet smarter this football season, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today, and you can get a full year for just $199, and you'll get a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum, a no-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter NFL bets. Sign up today and you'll get instant access to everything a VSiN Pro subscription offers you, including that daily email with all the best bets from our hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, as well as our NFL betting guide, which will be dropping on July 1st. So don't miss out on this limited-time offer. VSiN.com/subscribe. The promo code is BOOK, B-O-O-K, VSIN.com/subscribe. That's Mark Melusis. I'm Tim Murray on a busy Saturday night. We're waiting for Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final to start up in Edmonton. We'll get you updates on the movement in the lines here, some of our bets that we're looking at here in just a moment. But we're wrapping up the third round, Mark, of the U.S. Open. Sam Burns and J.J. Spaun trying to put the finishing touches on a decent round out there. Those are your co-leaders. Adam Scott shot a 67 today, and he's now in the clubhouse at 3-under. So a very strong performance today from Adam Scott, as he is now 3-1. To win the U.S. Open. And Victor Hovland, also a pretty solid day. 1-under, he's at plus 650 to win the U.S. Open. Sam Burns, plus 190 right now. J.J. Spaun at plus 275.
Yeah, I like Hovland. Who's obviously has been, world-class player for a while. We've waited for him to go out and win his first major. He's overcome some injuries. Ball striking's never been an issue. Missed a par putt, a lengthy par putt on 18 that would have had him just, two shots off the lead going into the final round tomorrow. But I like Victor Hovland at plus 650. Tim, I do not take anything away from J.J. Spaun or Sam Burns or what they've been able to do. Adam Scott turning back the clock. Yeah. Adam Scott's in his mid-40s. He looks like he's about, 30 years old. He looks like he's in remarkable shape. And they were talking about during the course of the broadcast today, that he's redone his workout program and what he does on Mondays and Tuesdays before any given tournament. And he's had a phenomenal first three rounds, and he's put himself into contention of winning a U.S. Open. And his ball striking's been fantastic the first 3 days. But I'd take Victor Hovland at plus 650. I think he's putted well. He's overcome some wayward shots and been creative when he's landed in the rough on some of his tee shots. So to me, at plus 650, I would lean toward Hovland going to the final round tomorrow.
It'll be fascinating to see how it all plays out. I know many of you are wondering about Scottie Scheffler. He is 50-1 to come all the way back. He is 4 over. And if you think he will finish top five, he's sitting at 2-1, top 10, minus $2. Scottie Scheffler today, as we look at what he put out there for the third round today, as he is tied for 11th. He was even par today, shot a 70, which is his best round. And the back nine, much better than the front, as he shot 1 under on the back nine with birdies at 12 and 17. So we will see how Scottie wraps up his round. 2-1 to finish in the top five, minus $2 to finish in the top 10. But J.J. Spaun and Sam Burns on the course right now. They are the only two left to finish up their rounds, and they are currently tied at 4 under. And Sam Burns is right now your favorite at plus 190. Whole lot of baseball to keep our eyes on here tonight, including at Fenway Park, as the Boston Red Sox, who won, Mark, last night 2-1 in extras over the Yankees. They lead right now by a score of 1-0. Carlos Rodon gets out of it there in, I believe, the second inning. So the Yankees only down 1-0. And right now, as we look at the live line for Yankees and Red Sox at this moment in time, the Yankees are a slight underdog at minus 102. As we head to the third inning, Yankees and Red Sox, 1-0 Red Sox right now.
Yeah, Rodon and Dobbins, those are your starters tonight. Rodon, obviously, for the Yankees. And he's been really, he hasn't been what Max Fried has been for the Yankees this year, Tim, but Rodon's been really, really good as of late. Last start, not so much. And he's one of those guys, he's like the little girl with the curl. And what I mean by that is, when his stuff is ridiculous, we know he can throw with high velocity. Sometimes I think, you know, in between the ears, misses a call, doesn't get a strike he thinks. Maybe there's a play behind him that's not made that he thinks should have been made, and all of a sudden Carlos Rodon starts to unwind on the mound, and he starts to lose it a little bit, and that's where he has a penchant for giving it up. I think the Yankees will bounce back tonight with a win, even though they're trailing right now 1-0 against the Red Sox. Listen to Boston. You know, Boston last weekend used that series against the Yankees, and that series was in the Bronx. They took 2 of 3 to kind of get themselves going a little bit, called up Roman Anthony this past week. They're the number one overall prospect in all of Major League Baseball, and we saw all the fanfare that got up at Fenway Park. And you know, Yankees Sox is always fun. I think Rodon's going to continue to pitch well tonight, even though I don't love him. As a longtime Yankee fan, I think he'll pitch well tonight. And I think you're going to look at a game that, you know, Yankees find a way to eke it out late, because even though this lineup, you look at it prodigious wise, they've, you know, they hit home runs, they score runs, they beat up on a lot of bad pitching. And you see a lot of bad pitching, Tim, in that American League. There's no question about it. But they've been really offensively led by two guys, obviously the best hitter in the world, and that being Aaron Judge, and the guy that they brought over from the St. Louis Cardinals in the offseason to a 1-year deal being Paul Goldschmidt. Those have been the two really main steadying forces offensively for this Yankee team all season long.
Also just underway, the Padres lead the Diamondbacks 1-0. That one in the third inning. The Padres still a slight dog on the road against Zach Gallen there for the Arizona Diamondbacks. So we'll keep our eyes on that. A best bet for me that we'll be sweating, because unfortunately Zach Root, the ace of Arkansas, was yanked in the second inning as Arkansas gave up 3 runs in that second, and it is 3-0 after 2 in Omaha. So the sweat is already on there for me with a little college baseball under as I look at the live line, and it is now 10.5. So once again, the beauty sometimes of betting it from a live standpoint as opposed to the pre-flop standpoint, and you know, hindsight, Mark, is 20/20, but you certainly could get a much better number now at 10.5 juiced under as opposed to what I played, which was under 9 in that one. The fun one, though.
Well, we played.
See,
I
convinced you on that.
You brought me in. You convinced me.
It's
you
not
brought
over
me
yet.
Into that play.
Well, all right, we're big Cade Anderson fans, all right? Cade Anderson.
We've taken on water early on. We've got the pails out. We've taken
on
water. Not exactly the start
we're
that we wanted in that game.
We're getting it out
right,
of the boat.
Exactly.
We're getting it out of the boat. Getting out of the boat, all right? We're going to bounce back. It's going to be like my wedding day when I got married on a beach and it was pouring for about 4 hours and we had to dig tunnels. But you know what? It ended up being a beautiful day. I'm still married, so maybe that's a metaphor of us getting
Wait,
this
Wait, is
under.
That true?
Yeah.
Is that true? It rained for four. Where did you get married?
Bethany Beach, Delaware.
Bethany Beach, and it rained for 4 hours. Now, your wife, how did she handle the situation?
So I wasn't with her as the day unfolded, but I'll make it a Cliff Notes version here. Our wedding planner, when it was raining early on in the day, said, "Don't worry, it's fine. I'll call you if you need to come out." And about 30 minutes later, she said, "Yeah, you need to get here." And all that time, Mark, as a kid, when you would dig tunnels in the beach.
Right.
It all came to fruition on the day of my wedding as the tented area for where our reception ultimately was. We were building little canals to get the water out of the reception area. Look, it ended up working out well. The sun came out as she walked over the dune. And last week, we celebrated 12 years. So, hey. It all worked out.
Congratulations.
So you know what?
It all worked out.
Same thing. My marriage and LSU Arkansas under. I mean, I think hand in hand. They are the same exact thing.
It's like kismet. I mean, there's no doubt. I could see the correlation. I mean, that is what this LSU Arkansas game is early on. And hopefully in the end, as you've been celebrating 12 years of marriage, that it didn't get off. But you know what? Trials and tribulations. You dealt with it early. In the end, it all worked out on your wedding day, and maybe in the end, it'll all work out for us between LSU and Arkansas.
I did not have a comparison of my wedding to LSU Arkansas on the card today, but that's the beauty of Live Bet Saturday, man. You just never know what's going to bring. All right, the U.S. Open has wrapped for the third round, and Sam Burns will head into the final day as your leader. He is four under. JJ Spahn bogeys the 18th. That was his first bogey since the third hole. So JJ Spahn today goes out and shoots a 69, and Sam Burns wraps up his round with a par on 18. So Mark, we head into the final round at Oakmont tomorrow with Sam Burns as your leader at four under. Live number plus 160. Adam Scott 3-1. JJ Spahn plus 330. And the guy that you think is worth a wager, Victor Hovland plus 650. We'll get you a Stanley Cup preview coming up top of the hour. But hey, just a reminder, the Stanley Cup and NBA Finals, as you all know, rolling along. PropitX is offering the best odds all playoffs long. PropitX is a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states, the first of its kind in the U.S. You'll be able to make your sports picks against other groups of fans rather than against sportsbooks. Download PropitX today. Use the code VSIN and earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month.